Hey, Dan.
Hey, Jared.
Your cat's dead.
Oh, well, which one? I have two.
Both of them. I killed them. Also, they're my cats, and I love them very much.
But my cats.
Yep, that's right.
Why would you kill them if you love them that much?
I'm real sad about it.
Well, why are you at the vet with me? I don't even know you. Who are you?
I'm your doctor. Vet doctor. Is that how that works? Oh, vet boy. Doctor. Hey, everybody. This is the Indie Film Review.
What kind of world would we be in if we took our pets to the same doctors we took? Or we went to the same doctors our pets went to?
I think they should be double qualified. They should be able to handle all species. All life.
Absolutely.
Plants, animals, humans. Yeah. We call them all-rounders. The people's doc. This is the Indie Film Review. We like to review independent films here. This is what we do. This is what the show is. It's not about shenanigans. It's not about having fun. We only review independent films quietly and in a respectful manner.
I don't know if I want to be part of this podcast anymore. Jeez.
And then we're done. Okay? And I'll indicate when
the
podcast
is
done.
But I love goofs and gaffs. Jared, where can I go for goofs and gaffs?
That'll be revealed at the end of the podcast, where all the goofs and gaffs are hidden. So, Dan, what movie did we watch?
Jared, we watched a film called Mr. Roosevelt.
Roosevelt!
Came out in 2017, directed and written by Noel Wells of Saturday Night Live fame.
Oh, that's where they from. Is Noel in this movie at all?
Yeah, she's the star.
Oh, damn.
So she wrote, directed,
she's awesome.
And starred in this film.
Cool. Yeah, I guess I haven't seen SNL in a thousand million years.
I haven't seen Saturday Night Live in forever.
I don't know anyone. Yeah.
I just know that I looked. I IMDb'd her, and it said Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, huh. She must be on Saturday Night Live.
That's fun. I mean, I'm sure SNL is probably still a thing people watch.
Oh, it certainly
yeah.
is.
I bet you they wear their shirts when they watch it, too.
I would
That's
hope
they
so.
They say, certainly. I'll see myself out.
I'll follow you.
Mr. Roosevelt, Dan.
Yes.
What is this film about? Could you tell me in 30 seconds or less?
Yes, this film is about a woman whose cat dies, and she goes home to find out that her ex-boyfriend has been infiltrated by a external source that is his new girlfriend, and the new girlfriend also cares for the cat because Emily, her name is, left the cat to go pursue her dreams. So what's a boyfriend to do but get a new girlfriend and make the cat their baby?
That's right. I mean, what's a boyfriend to do other than to be infiltrated, which is now my new favorite word, and I will try to say it as much as I can during this podcast. All right, questions.
Yes.
Dan, how did you feel about the aesthetic of this film?
It was filmed on Kodak film, so I was having quite a time with it. I really enjoyed the film grain. I forgot to look up. I will look it up very quickly right now.
While you're doing that, I'll say I also loved the way this film looked.
Don't know what camera was used, but it was filmed on Super 16. So it was filmed with a 16mm camera, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
But printed it in 35mm, so that's strange.
This movie looks gorgeous. The opening credits are so good.
Yeah, the opening credits were awesome.
There are still photos of the main character and her boyfriend, like things in her life. But what happens is wherever your eye is already looking at, usually it's a face, it gets cut out and then it is revealed like production assistants or whatever. And it'll show like, you know, executive produced and it'll have like credits there.
It was a very creative.
It's so genius.
Very creative.
So good.
Opening sequence for sure.
That immediately gets you jazzed for the film. You're like, okay, I kind of like, I'm understanding the feel of this movie. I'm getting into it. Do you have a question for me?
Yes, Jared. How do I want to phrase it?
Try to slip in the word infiltrate.
Whenever you're watching a film that is classified as a comedy, how often do you want comedy to infiltrate your ears? And
yes. eyes? And eyes. Oh. I understand what you're getting at with this question, because this isn't a, like, laugh out loud riot.
No, and I get what it was.
Kermit-y. But I will say, I definitely actually laughed out loud a few times.
I did too, but okay, so this film kind of made me mad.
Oh.
In its entirety, no, not really, but it called itself out, in my opinion, where there was a scene where some dude called the main character quirky, and she got offended by that and, like, went off on this crazy tirade as to why females shouldn't be called quirky. And why is it that females are called quirky and then males are called eccentric and blah, 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 blah. This film, it's a quirky, eccentric film. Like, I don't understand what the butthurt is here if your whole film has this personality to it. You know what I mean? It's like...
I don't see quirkiness or being eccentric as a bad thing.
Exactly.
I forget exactly what she says about it, to be honest with you. There could have been a point made there, but...
No, there was a good point, because the point was females are called quirky because it shows that they have eccentric tastes, but it downplays their intelligence. Like, quirky is kind of a derogatory term, but I don't use quirky as a derogatory term. I would describe this film as being quirky, and I would describe quirky films as something that I don't necessarily care for.
I don't know anyone who's ever used quirky... First of all, and I don't know anyone who's ever said it in a derogatory way towards a woman. I'm thinking that the director probably gets called this all the time, so it's probably just a word that is annoying to her.
Well, guess what? The film was quirky. Sorry.
Oh no, you son of a bitch.
I was infiltrated by quirky filmists.
You have. Oh no. I've never meant to use that word in a way that would be offensive, and I'm still not sure if it is. I don't know. I feel like the meanings of words can change. Let's look up what quirky means. Peculiar, characterized by peculiar or unexpected traits. So...
I guess, no, she has a point then. If I were to say, oh, you're quirky, it's because I don't understand you as a person... That's not how I necessarily use the word quirky. The film feels strange to me. It feels, like, awkward, almost.
So it feels like some kind of Q word you could use to describe it. So, unexpected traits. So that means they're acting in a way that you are not accustomed to or don't expect. But I think of that as a good thing.
Yeah.
I find that to be so much more interesting than normal time.
But I think it also, like, goes into, like, people generalize these type of women, like Noelle Wells and Zooey Deschanel, and who else? I don't know. Lauren Lapkus, maybe?
Lauren Lapkus. But I just kind of think of that as, like, they're playing to their strengths.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of like me when I was a kid. Like, you make people laugh. Because it's better than the opposite, you know? It's better than people hating you. So it's like, oh, I have this talent.
Better than
when people are laughing
at you. You deflect the laughter away from you. It's smart. It's a defense mechanism.
You don't want to be like everybody else. Like, you've kind of, like, created a personality that is the opposite of the things that you don't like. So, I don't know. I can understand what she's coming from.
I know, I get it. Like, that was a really cool moment in the film. I'm still going to call the film quirky because it's part of this movement of films that I just don't... They don't jive with me. It's like the whole Juno... It's all those kind of feel-good movies where there's... It's silly. It's dramatic. It's everything all balled up into one, and it's just this big indie fest... And I don't know, more often than not, these stories don't click with me the way they should, or the way they're intended.
Well, here's my question for you. Did this film click with you?
No,
in the way that it intended?
It was a good film. Like, the aesthetic was there, it was competently put together. I was just waiting for it to end, because it's these movies are not my kind of movie.
Okay. What about the film were you not enjoying, I guess, is... And what did you enjoy? Let's do that. Let's do that.
Okay, so normally with these films, they are leaning on their comedy to get the film through. And if the film is leaning on its own comedy, comedy is subjective, and to me, it didn't hit all the beats that were supposed to hit. Like, certain jokes, you could tell that everybody is supposed to laugh at them, and if I'm not laughing at the jokes that everybody's supposed to be laughing at, then, like, I'm not having a good time.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like this film is more of, has more of a softer tone than, say, like, a movie like Booksmart.
Right.
Or,
Well, I mean...
Superbad, you know?
Yeah, I get what where you're coming from, and I feel like this film's strength is its writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because for being such a simple plot, she was able to get a lot of really cool drama in the film itself, like a lot of really intense scenes. I was not expecting some of them.
And there's definitely a lot of drama in this
some
film.
Some of those films, or some of those scenes, I think were played for laughs, and they either, like, go over with being ha-ha funny, or, like, you sit there and you think about them, you're like, man, if I were in this position, yeesh.
it's dealing with some pretty interesting issues, and it goes into things where it's like, I can see who this character is. Like, I know this person. I used to know this person when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like is this film does seem kind of personal to the filmmaker.
Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if something similar like this happened in her life and she is just pulling from real life. What I really like about this movie is that the main character is not necessarily the good
I did like that a lot too. Did like that a lot too, for sure.
She kind of causes her own issues through her own neurosis
And that statement might actually be why I didn't like the film so much.
Really? That's what turned me around on the film, because I was like, if this is just like another boring, or not boring, but like if this was like another just run of the mill, like quirky, light comedy, it's like with nothing else, no other twist. It's like, okay, I've seen this before. This isn't really doing anything else to help this genre. But I like the idea that she's turning it on its head, and she's like, I'm the problem. Like, I'm the mess that's ruining everything.
Well, let me rephrase what I'm talking about. I do agree with you. I think it was pretty cool that she turned it around on herself and was basically saying, this character is the problem, and that's how it resolved.
Yes.
However, It made me go back and reflect on the entire film, and I had to be subjected or infiltrated, if you will, protagonist that I don't want. Like, I can tell you're a problem. Fucking cut it out, and I have to like be with her the entire time.
So I guess you just found the main character to be annoying, is what I'm understanding.
No, not so much annoying.
No?
It's the situation that she is placed in. Before we get into spoilers, I don't think I really did it justice during my review or my 30-second elevator pitch. So here's my problem with the film. And it's not even my problem with the film. This is what I didn't like about the film, and it's what the whole film is based off of. So she goes back home because her cat dies.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend is living with a new girlfriend, and she is forced to stay with them because she has nowhere else to stay. Mm-hmm. That whole scenario just makes me feel so uncomfortable.
Oh yeah, that's this whole movie. So if you don't
I didn't like that feeling I had throughout the entire fucking movie.
So maybe
I'm just a wussy and I couldn't get past it.
It's so funny because you'll watch the most vile, awful things and be totally fine with it. With like, because this shit is real. That's what I like about it. It's like it gets too real. The situation and everything she does is stuff that she keeps doing to herself.
Yeah,
like she put herself in this situation where she has to stay with her ex-boyfriend that she left, and live with this new woman who kind of seems a little passive aggressive, but is really just trying to do the best that she can in this awful situation of like this ex having to live in that house, you know. It's pretty great how it all it is very cringy. If you're not into the cringe, I'm usually very turned off by it.
I'm usually liking cringe, but I guess you're right. It just, this film felt too real. It wasn't cringy in a way that I enjoyed, but it was definitely cringy.
I gotcha. Okay, so we're gonna spoil this movie even further now. If you want to watch it, what is it on? Amazon?
It's on Netflix.
Amazon Prime? It's Netflix. It's on the Netflix. Roosevelt 2017.
Mr. Roosevelt.
Let's get into it.
Sure. So we have a pretty stellar cast. You have Noelle Wells. You have Nick Thune. You had Britt Lower. And my favorite was Daniela Pineda.
As the friend?
As the friend, Jen Morales. Celeste Jones.
She is amazing.
She was fucking great. She was my favorite part of the film.
I thought Noelle Wells was really good.
All the acting was great,
character.
Except I will say...
Are you going to say what I'm going to say?
Yes. Doug Benson.
I liked Doug Benson, actually.
Oh, who were you going to
say? I didn't hate him. He always looks like he's constantly stoned because he is probably constantly stoned. That's just like M.O. I kind of liked his line deliveries. I didn't mind them. I actually thought that Nick Thune was kind of a little flat.
Really?
In this movie. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes the chemistry between Noelle and Nick just didn't connect for me. I don't know. I feel like there was a casting issue there of them two. I really didn't feel the chemistry.
Interesting.
I think maybe Nick was just too subdued. I don't know.
Well, that might have been his direction. We don't know. Like, he had to be the anchor for both Noelle and for both Emily and Celeste. Like, he is the person who is the fulcrum between these two swinging pendulums, essentially.
Yes, of like extremes.
So he has to be the middle ground. And I think he did a pretty good job.
I mean, he didn't do a terrible job. I don't know. I just didn't think their love, that love connection wasn't resonating for me. That does make sense, though, of him having to be normal, because if all of them were just insane, the movie would be way too much. It's like, okay, this is out of control. Let's talk about specific scenes, if you will. Infiltrated your brain hole. I would like to talk about the scene where they go swimming.
Oh, that was one of the times that I laughed.
This whole scene, I was so jealous. I'm like, I want to go to a place that has water that nice.
Mm-hmm.
And they're swimming in this like beautiful little like lagoon area. I don't know what it is. But there was that whole little thing where everyone's taking off all their shirts mm-hmm. and all the women are all topless and she doesn't want to. And I just thought that scene was really endearing.
There were to tell you why I like that scene so much.
Mm.
And I typically don't, like, go for nudity in films, but as they were taking off their tops, it's a slow-motion shot, reverse shot of each of the women that are mm-hmm. that she's with, and her just staring, and she's like, oh, and there's this really cool, like, what's that fucking $6 billion man sound? Like, the whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
And when she quits her job, she throws her fucking phone in the water, and she's like, oh no, I should not have done that. And then they basically had to write in a guy just finds the phone. He's like, here, I found your phone. Yeah. He threw it in the water. Here it is.
Good thing they're waterproof now.
Yeah, technology. So yeah, I thought that was cute. I thought the climax kind of like party. They had like a memorial party or whatever for Mr. Roosevelt at the end. And how she calls out all the people who are there. She's like, you guys didn't even know this cat. Like, I'm the person who lived with this cat. And like the only other person who could lay claim to that would be the new girlfriend, who's Celeste throwing it.
Okay, so Celeste seemed like she was throwing it for herself, but because Emily is in town, she was trying to include Emily and all that.
Yeah,
she was trying to be as accommodating as possible. But the issue is Emily is just like she's feeling infiltrated. See, I'm using the word more than you are. You
that's
jerk.
That's right. The entire proxy is like, the cat is a proxy to her love and feelings for Nick Thune's character, Eric.
Yes.
She feels like this was something that she was owed, that she wanted it both ways. She wanted to get her amazing career when she left for Los Angeles and left him. And she also wanted him to be there for her when she came back as a successful actress or whatever. And that's just not the case.
Which makes that scene... At the very end, that climax where she starts screaming at everybody and berating them like you were talking about, one of the things she says to everybody is, it's just a fucking cat, right? But mm-hmm. if we look at the cat as this figure for all of her love for her boyfriend and how she left it in the dust, she's essentially calling her boyfriend and her love for her boyfriend just a fucking thing that she can get rid of. And then later on, she spills the dust everywhere. She feels bad and she realizes what she has lost. And then she kind of reflects on herself positively and, you know, just allows her boyfriend to move on and basically doubles down and tries to move on herself.
Yeah, because Eric, her boyfriend, is completely crushed by all of this. Yes. He starts taking antidepressants, and he's actually trying to slowly wean off of them after their relationship. Because he thought they were going to get married and have kids and all this stuff. And she finds those drugs in his medicine cabinet, and she thinks that his new girlfriend has put him on medication. And is like trying to stop him from like playing in his band and trying to... make him like a square white picket fence type of guy, like trying to get him into real estate and shit. And he's like, no, I'm just trying to be realistic. Like, I can't fuck around with this band. I've been doing it for like 10 years. It hasn't gone anywhere. I need a real career. You left. And I was so upset that I started taking this medication.
But
and she's trying to get me off of it. And I was like, oh, man.
I see what this film, I guess the more we're talking about, the more I am liking it, because this film is turning into, to me, like a meditation on the consequences of chasing your dreams.
Yes, it is. Yes, her consequences have actions. She thinks, I'm going to go and do this thing, and it's all selfish.
Consequences?
Yeah, did I say it totally backwards? Derp. Whatever. And it's showing, like you're saying, how her doing that is affecting everyone else, and she never realized that, and she's going on this quest of basically realization. And that's what I like about the film. So it's less that it is funny. It is at times. It is definitely making me laugh. There was one scene where she, at the beginning, she's at an audition and she's like doing this like 5-minute spiel or whatever about why she was like first one to be in a comedy. And I really liked it. It was like her as like a little kid and how she was like, oh, I like this attention. You know, I like how it feels. And the people in the room are just looking at, like fucking playing Candy Crush on their phones. I don't know what they're doing. Just totally ignoring her. It's awful. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to do some quick impressions. And one of them was a pug. It was a baby that's slowly turning into a pug. And that shit made me laugh so much.
That was really good.
And that's kind of like what got me hooked onto the film. I was like, okay, so I might not be laughing, you know, a laugh every 10 seconds or whatever, but it's when the laughs come, they're going
to
be good.
Well,
and
to,
I'm still very invested in what's going on.
I really don't like comedies. Like even like the comedies that are a laugh every 10 seconds, I don't like those. Those are not my kind of movies. I typically do like these type of comedies, but it's just the situation that she put herself in and having to deal with everything, and you have to like... maybe I would have approached it differently if I knew it was going to be that much of a drama. I might have liked it more, but just my predisposition or my preconceived notions of what comedies are were trumped, essentially. They went away as soon as I started to realize how awful the sitcom, if you will, is.
Yeah, I would say this is kind of more of a drama than a comedy.
For sure.
Comedy
for sure.
Definitely takes a back seat. And that is not a bad thing, because
no, it's not.
I enjoyed this film. I guess that was final thoughts.
Was it?
I mean, do you have one more scene you'd like to talk about?
I thought there was... Oh. One of the things it plays really well with
my balls.
So there's two things I want to talk about. The first thing is the scene where she's hallucinating and she thinks that her boyfriend is like coming on to her while she's making coffee.
Oh, that was so sad.
That was really sad. And like that was, it was weird because you're like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. And then it was all just in her head and you're like, oh, he should have done that. So it's
how do we
weird.
Find out about that? It's because the cat bowl isn't there or is there.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, that cat is dead. Why would that still be there?
Right.
And you're like, okay.
This
isn't real.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is there's this scene where her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend, they're at a party and he's like going to town on guitar and she is filming, right?
Yeah.
But you find out later she wasn't filming him. She was actually filming her friend Jen.
Yeah.
Who was on drugs.
Because I was wondering, like, when is this going to come into play?
Yeah.
And I do like how it...
I thought it was going to be, like, making the new girlfriend jealous kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, look, I let him live his dreams, but it was actually, like, her just looking out for a friend, which it was an interesting take on.
Well, here's again how it twists everything around and messes with your expectations. That's why I like it, because you think that she is going to get the guy in the end.
Yeah.
She's come back, she's made a mistake, but now she's going to get back with Mr. Thune. And you know, he's going to start playing guitar again, and they're going to go move to Hollywood, and everything's going to be great. And that's just not the case. And I love how she has to actually live with the reality of the situation that she has built for herself instead of the fantasy of a movie.
I feel like the message of the film is that, because, you know, you have her ex-boyfriend trying to settle down and trying to make something for himself, but then her friend, before she leaves, she shows her the clip. And she's like, you need to go to Chicago because people are asking for you there. And then that friend's like, maybe I should go to Chicago. So it's not just the reality of your world and not chasing your dreams. It's more of there's a time and a place for you to chase your dreams and a time and a place for you to settle down.
Well, yeah. And I mean, everything has, you're sacrificing things, you know, like, exactly. If you want to pursue your dreams,
exactly,
to be a Hollywood actor or whatever, there's going to be consequences, like just leaving everyone behind. Things are just going to be suspended in animation.
The sacrifices I have made for this podcast.
That's right.
That's oh my God.
Right. That's right. I had a wife and kids. Left it all for the podcasting business, baby. So I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah, I think so.
Old Dano, we have successfully infiltrated
another
film. The hearts and minds of the viewers. Yeah, and another, yeah. Are you guys tired of the podcast yet and me saying that? Oh, boy. I don't know who's listening, but thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You can find us on Twitter at IndieFilmPod. You can find us on Instagram at IndieFilmReviewPod. You can find us on Facebook, IndieFilmReview. You can email us at TheIndieFilmReview@gmail.com.
Yay! Hey, and if you like this show, which I'm assuming you do because you're still listening. Again, thank you. Could you tell other people about it? I mean, that would be really helpful if you could do that. I'd really like you and appreciate you if you did. I think that's the best way to really get the word out for the show. And we're real grassroots here, you know? We're fucking mavericks. That's what I like to say. Me and Dan, we're fucking mavericks.
Mavericks.
And this is how we roll.
Of the podcast and biz.
And, Necropodicon is our affiliate, our friend, our compadre, and we are partnered with them. If you'd like to go to necropodicon.com, you can click on the link to the Discord there and say hello to us. You can come on down to the Discord where we post pictures of our cats and dogs and talk about movies and shit. It's pretty fun. There's like specific little channels for each different podcast there. And there's a lot of other really good podcasts that you can find. Like, if you like us, you'll definitely gonna like a lot of the podcasts there. There's D&D podcasts. There's other movie podcasts. There's, podcasts that cover fan fiction. There's, our newest podcast that we got, Marion Waffles. They do, improv, and they're fucking good. So yeah, go check them out. That's all I have to say. Dan, you're a gentleman.
Thank you.
You're a scholar.
Yes.
You're handsome.
Mm.
Your hair is luxurious. Please give us your final word.
I'm a dead cat.
Can anyone hear us? Can anyone hear us?
I'm trapped in this bumper.
We're both trapped in this bumper.
Oh no, how do we end up in here?
Well, how do we escape? Okay, look, maybe if we send everyone to necropodicon.com, we can escape.
But not just that. What if we send them to the Discord as well?
Yes, that's great. You have to go to the website, which is www.necropodicon.com. And you'll find a Discord on there. And if you want, I guess, if you've got time while releasing us, you could play games and chat with the people from the various podcasts you've been listening to.
You can read all the cast and crew profiles. You can be part of special events.
In fact, we're missing out on that by being trapped in this bumper.
Help free us from this bumper, and we'll see you over at www.necropodicon.com.
We are in mortal pain.
If you
this
do
sucks.
Not, please.
We
help
suffer in this bumper.
Save us.
Ah!
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.